All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I am excited to be here and just share the word and talk about Show Me, the ministry I love so dearly. Will you pray with me? Lord, we just come to this time, Lord, where we get the opportunity and the privilege to study your word. And I just pray, Lord, that as we do that, you just open our hearts and open our eyes and our ears to see what you might want us to see and hear what you might want us to hear, Lord, that we might be touched and challenged and changed. And speak through me, Lord. These are your words, not my own. And help me just to say what you want me to say and get out of the way where I don't need to be. We just thank you, God, for everything you've given us. And it's in your name. Amen. So a couple months ago, I was doing my morning devotions. Did something wrong? And as I was doing my devotions that day, I happened to be watching Tony Evans. And Tony Evans said something that day that just really stuck into my mind. And I don't remember much else about the devotion that day, the sermon, or anything else, but he said these words: if you were on trial for your faith, would there be enough evidence to convict you, or would you be set free on all charges? And I just thought about that. Would I be set free of all charges, or would there be enough evidence to convict me that I'm a Christian? And as I was thinking about that and working on the message for this morning, a passage of Scripture came to mind. Because I was thinking, how would they know? How would someone be able to say, yes, that guy's a Christian? How would people be able to tell? And the passage of Scripture that came to mind is one that's going to be familiar for most of us. It's the parable of the sheep and the goats. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25 this morning, that's going to be our passage of Scripture for this morning. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to start in verse 31, and we're going to read to verse 46. Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Whatever you did for the least of these. Because of the need in central Missouri, Show Me Christian Youth Home was created. 48 years ago, we opened up our doors. A bunch of area churches saw that there was a bunch of hurting kids, and they said, we need to do something about it. We can't just sit back and do nothing. So 48 years ago, we opened up our doors, and since that day, we've had over 2,000 kids be able to enter into Show Me Christian Youth Home. And recently, we have reworked our mission statement, and our mission statement is clear and concise now. It used to be like 6 pages long, and you know, if you have a mission statement that is more than a page, people have a hard time remembering it. So we decided that we needed to update that a little bit. And it tells exactly what we do, and it says, we are compelled by Christ to rescue and restore young lives. That is our mission statement. That is what we believe, and that's what we do. And you know, that's why we've been able to help so many kids. We just feel God calling these kids to our lives. Now, realize that when kids come to Show Me, there's lots of different reasons. And I'm just going to share a little bit about Show Me and share about the Word, too. And these kids come for lots of different reasons, and no two reasons are the same. You know, kids come to Show Me because there's things in their lives that they can't control. You know, some of the kids that we have in our homes, they're living with grandparents, they're living with aunts, uncles, they're living with friends, they're living wherever they can. Mom and dad aren't in the picture. And because of that, there's strain on the family, and there's not the bond, and there's problems that arise. And so kids can come and be a part of our homes, and then aunts and uncles get to be aunts and uncles, and grandma and grandpa get to be grandma and grandpa. And a lot of times that makes all the difference in the world for those kids. Another reason kids come is because parents can't meet the needs of their children. You know, maybe mom and dad have lost the job. Times are tough, the economy's tough. And so because of a loss of a job, they just don't have the funds or the means to take care of their kids. And so they come to Show Me and we're able to help them. You know, sometimes they're facing homelessness. My wife and I, about 7 years ago, we had a young man come to join our family. And him and his mom were living in a car. You know, no home, no nothing. And so they were able to come and he was able to come and be a part of our family while mom was working to get back on her feet. Sometimes the parents of these kids are in jail. And, I mean, it's pretty hard to take care of your kids if you're incarcerated. So, you know, we're something that they can have, a resource they can have to help them in their problems in that time. Sometimes the kids have problems that they create themselves. You know, sometimes they get in trouble at school or they get in trouble with the law. Sometimes it's just their own personal behavior issues for whatever reason, anger, bullying, dishonesty, and problems like that. You know, since Sarah and I joined Show Me 8 years ago, we've had about 40 kids in our home, and there's been so many needs that we have seen in these kids, you know, and some of these are what I've talked about, the homelessness situation. You know, we were able to help that young man in that situation. We had two boys come into our home, and they were about 8 years old and 10, and they had come up to Missouri from Mexico, and so they're up there, and while they're up there, mom died, and without mom, dad had to do everything he could just to support his family. And so, you know, a single father working hard, trying to support his family, the boys were left home alone. They were left to just kind of do whatever they could do. And the big problem in that situation, they lived in an area that was heavy in the gangs. And there was a big Mexican kind of gangs going on there. And so the boys, even though they were 6 and 8 years old, started getting into a gang type lifestyle. And dad realized, my kids are getting into a lifestyle that's wrong and that I don't want them to be in that. And so he was able to bring them to Show Me, and we were able to help them get out of that lifestyle that they were bringing themselves into. There was another young man named Aaron, and Michael knows Aaron really well. He lived with us for about 3 years. And his story, I just want to tell you a little bit now, and I'll finish it later, but he lived in a situation, a single-parent situation too. And single-parent situation, but there was an adopted sister in this situation. And him and his sister, they did not get along. There was just a lot of anger and other struggles going on. And Aaron would punch holes in walls, and just there was so much anger. And his mom heard a Show Me presentation, and they were able to come up. And I'll tell you about the rest of his story later, but the change in his life just from having an opportunity made all the difference in the world. You know, and so like in the parable at the beginning, there's needs. There's needs. And Show Me saw these needs, and they took care of them. You know, in your community, there's needs. All around us, there's needs. You know, are we going to take care of those needs? You know, when we see a need, we have two options. You can either sit back and do nothing and just figure somebody else is going to take care of the need. Somebody else is going to reach out and take care of that situation. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the one who's going to step out. I'm going to be the one who's going to make a difference in that life. I'm going to be the one who is going to do what I can to make a difference. And you notice that, you know, in that first parable, Jesus said, you did that unto me. You did that unto me. And so we start by noticing a need. We start by noticing that there's a problem. And once you notice there's a problem, you got to do something about it. And because of that, we have lots of programs in place that we have at Show Me that help the kids with their problems. One, we have a licensed counselor who is on our staff. And he gets to the opportunity. Actually, we have two licensed counselors, one for the guys and one for the girls. And they come down, and the kids get to see them every week. And they get the free counseling to help them with the problems and to give them advice and to help them overcome their struggles. We have a private school on grounds because we noticed that a lot of the kids, A lot of the kids that were coming, school was a big issue for most of those kids. And, you know, I'm not bashing the public school or anything like that, but, man, the Christian school that we are able to have on site is just, it's phenomenal. So many of the kids came, and they were at grade level just because of their age, you know, and that was sad, you know, and they're getting to eighth grade, but they're like in fourth grade English or fourth grade math. And when eighth grader's trying to do math and they're 4 years behind, that kid just, it crushes them. They just feel stupid. And so with our program, when the kids come, they take what they call a diagnostic test. And that test tells us where they are in each grade level or in each subject. And they are able to start academically at that subject. And to be able to see a kid who has struggled in school their whole life succeed. You know, you're getting D's and F's in public school, but you're coming and you're starting where you're supposed to, and now you're getting A's and B's. You know, the confidence that gives those kids is just phenomenal. And, you know, when I heard about the Christian school, I kind of thought to myself, it's a private school, you know, it's probably not going to be all that great. But since my kids have joined, I have been just so thoroughly impressed. You know, one of the best things about the private school is the fact that it is Christian, that they get to listen to Christian music during their school time, and that when they're doing their classwork, each of their paces, which is kind of like their textbook, has Bible verses that they have to memorize, and they get to learn biblical truths. And so when they study science, they get to learn about creation, and they get to learn about those important things. You know, my son Cole got out of kindergarten, and he's in the first grade now. And when they had the award ceremony last year, he stood up in front of everybody and quoted Psalm 100. You know, that's like 6 or 7 verses. And to me, as a parent, that makes me proud. That is education enough for me right there, you know. And when I was that age, I couldn't quote a whole passage of Scripture, but because he worked on it with his mom every day in school, he was able to do that. And that just floors me. They also have lots of incentives that they can do, lots of special privileges that, excuse me, that they can earn that really help them with their education. If they make honor roll, they get to go on special outings. Last week, I got to take a bunch of kids to Sky Zone. I don't know if you guys know what Sky Zone is, but just a bunch of trampolines put together in a room, and you just jump like crazy. Cole got to go with me, and he liked the foam pit, and so he would just jump into the big pieces of foam and then take about 5 minutes to get back out because, you know, he got sucked in. But, you know, he just enjoyed it. And this last year, we started a sports program for the kids, you know, just one more incentive to help them do well. Because I'm sure most of us have seen kids that are struggling, but boy, you give them something that they can work towards, like sports, and it makes a huge difference. And I had the opportunity to be the basketball coach for the basketball season, and there's not a whole lot to tell about that. We had 6 kids on the team. 2 of them were 6th graders, and we were playing against high school kids. And we started the first day with "This is a bounce pass." So we didn't have a lot of success, but we had a lot of fun, and we really enjoyed ourselves. Another program we were able to start recently, and it's still in the developing stages. We've got 1 year of curriculum. It's called Leadership University. And this is a program that we started because we saw that horses and dogs have a huge therapeutic thing, outreach, I'm not sure of the words, but for these kids. And I don't understand that all, but to see how some of these kids have really bonded to these animals and what they've learned from having just the opportunity to take a big horse and make it obey you, or have a big horse and have it not obey you and just feel uncomfortable and feel like, you know, I'm really uneasy, you know. There was one young man riding a horse, and the horse was making him so uncomfortable. The next week he went to the counselor and was telling about the horse, about how, oh, I was really anxious, and I was really uncomfortable, and I was really just frustrated because I didn't know what to do. And he's like, how's your life at home? And he goes, that's kind of how I treat my parents. And then just to see how that just, the light bulb comes on and how the differences are made just because he was able to ride a horse that was giving him struggles. You know, those kind of things are amazing. You know, and in this program, it's kind of like a Boy Scout type program, as far as there's like 4 or 5 different levels that they'll be able to reach. And in order to reach the next level, there's a whole list of accomplishments that they have to complete. You know, they're going to learn in these levels, apologetics, the basics of their faith, the important things about the faith, so that when they get out in the real world after they're 18 and they graduate, they're going to know what they believe. It's not going to be like, oh, I went to church and, you know, I'm piggybacking my parents' faith. It's going to be, I know what I believe. I know what's important. And so they're learning that. And each level has a certain amount of memory work they have to learn. And each level has a different amount of community service they have to do. So not only are they learning the Bible, they're learning to serve people and to make a difference in other people's lives. And eventually, you know, the dog program is going to be completely up and running. And we're going to be breeding dogs, and then the kids are going to get a dog to train and help learn how to train that dog. And then we'll be able to sell the dogs to help raise money for the program itself. And another program we have is called Path to Purpose. And that whole program arose because the big need there was we saw the kids leaving Show Me and failing. You know, they'd stay at Show Me and they'd do really good, really good, really good, but they'd leave and they'd go back home. Or they'd leave and they got back into that old lifestyle that they used to live. And all those problems and all those struggles came back. And, you know, they were ending up in jail and they were ending up losing their faith and their beliefs. And so our director, Chad, who took over about 3 years ago, said, we need to do something about that. You know, here's the need. We got to do something about it. And a lady who works at Show Me came when she was 18 months old. And when she was 18 months old, she came to Show Me, and now, and then she graduated from Show Me. So she was there for 18 years. And now she's able to come, and she's taken over that program, and she's been where those kids have been, and she's been through those struggles that they have. And so she's leading that program and helping the kids to learn what they need to learn so that when they do leave, they're not falling behind. You know, this program has so many great things. I mean, when they leave, we know where they're going, and we set them up with a mentor in the community, you know, somebody who can look after them, because so many of those kids kind of went off, and then there was nobody there for them. And so they just kind of went to whoever was available. You know, with this program, we set them up with a mentor so that when they do leave, they've got somebody who's going to check up on them and help them with what they're going through. They go through a big course load. One thing they do is financial planning, which is a huge thing. I wish when I was in high school, I went through a financial planning type program. They do the Dave Ramsey program, you know, and so they're learning to save. They're learning to invest. They're learning to use their money wisely instead of just going out and getting a credit card and, look, I have free money that I can use now. And they don't make those mistakes. They take career placement exams. And through these exams that they take, we find out what their strengths are. We learn what their things, you know, that they're really good at. And then they get a chance to go job shadowing on a job that really fits them well. You know, and they get to take driver's ed, and they get a opportunity to learn how to drive. And then when they finish school, they actually get not only a diploma from the school, they get a diploma from Path to Purpose as well. And if they've gone through the whole program and completed everything they're supposed to, Show Me helps them get a down payment on a car. You know, so they're not just leaving and they have no vehicle. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we'll get a vehicle donated. Well, if they've completed the program, here's a vehicle you guys can have. You know, it might not be as fancy as your friends, but it's a reliable vehicle that you're going to be able to use that you can, you know, use for years to come. There's also a fund set aside for emergencies. You know, when I was in school, when I went to college, if I needed something, I could call home. I'd say, Mom, Dad, this is my problem. Can you help me? You know, and they're like, here's money to fix your car. Here's money for gas or whatever I needed. You know, so many of these kids didn't have that. They didn't have anybody that they could call and say, hey, can you help me? And so with this program, they've got money set aside for emergencies. So if their car breaks down, they're not all alone. If their car breaks down and they need to get it fixed, there's somebody that can help them on the way. Or if they need help with their bills, we can help them with their bills that way too. You know, because we want them to know they're not alone. That just because they're not a part of living at Show Me at this point in time, we still care about them. And then for the younger kids, they get a chance to go on field trips. They get to go to the fire department. They've gone to farms. They've gone to police stations. Just chance for them to be able to see, this is a real life job. What do you guys think about it? And so those are some things that we've been able to bring about because we saw a need and we decided we need to take care of it. You know, and in this world that we live, there's so many opportunities for us to make a difference. And there's so many opportunities for us to reach out and serve, you know, and I don't know about you. You know, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what you've been up to and what you've been doing. But I do know that all around us, there's needs. In your community, there's needs. You know, there's needs all around us. The thing is, are we willing to do anything about it? You know, are we going to see the need and say, I can do something? Or are we going to see the need and say, somebody else can do that? You know, maybe when you see a need, you want to help. That's awesome. Maybe you guys want to help with Show Me, you know, and partner with your church. Your church partners with us, and we are so thankful for that. You know, and there's lots of ways you can do that. Obviously, there's financial ways, and I'm not going to go into that. But the most important way that you can partner with Show Me is prayer. Let me say this out loud. Never underestimate the power of prayer. You know, I know that we all go to church and we're like, oh, we know prayer works and all those kind of things. And I grew up, prayer works and, you know, God answers prayers if you believe and all this kind of stuff. And You know, I knew it, but I really didn't. Not that I didn't believe it, but I didn't really believe it, you know. And boy, once I've came to show me, I've been able to see prayers answered. You know, you see a kid that's struggling. You see a kid that's hurting. And as a staff, we get together and we pray for this child. And then to see the remarkable change that comes around. You know, there's been times where funds have been low, you know, and donations didn't come in that month. And we prayed about it. And we was like, God, you know, here's the need. What's going on? Or here's the need. How can you help? And then the next month we hear, hey, we set a record on donations for this month. You know, prayer is vital for ministry. Prayer is vital for our ministry. Prayer is vital for even Pastor Michael's ministry. You know, pray for Pastor Mike. You know, and just pray that God will take care of what's going on. You know, another thing that's awesome that we're able to do, excuse me, is have mission trips. You know, and I know I talked to some of you up here last time I was here about a mission trip. And, you know, just this past week I talked to Pastor Mike and his dad, Pastor Mike, and about, you know, maybe coming down and doing a mission trip. You know, if that's something you guys would want to do, that's awesome. And the great thing about a mission trip with us is you get yourself there, we provide everything else. You know, so you get the gas money and you drive yourself down. While you're there, we take care of your lodging, your food. We take care of everything that you could possibly need. And, you know, this past year, you know, just to prove how people can make a difference, we had over 400 volunteers come work at Show Me last summer. And those 400 volunteers put in over 8,000 hours of work. And those 8,000 hours of work saved Show Me over $70,000. You know, and so it's just, who knew that just, you know, coming down and doing a little bit made such a huge difference. But, man, if we had to pay somebody to do all the stuff that the volunteers were able to do, you know, it would have cost us over $70,000. You know, and so it made a huge difference. You know, so maybe you want to help us. That's awesome. That's great. Come talk to me later. I'd love to talk to you about that. But maybe you just want to do something here. Maybe you feel like God's calling me in my community to make a difference. God's calling me where I am to reach out and touch somebody's life. That's awesome. You know, this week I was able to come up here to Awanas. I bet Pastor Mike would love to have a few more volunteers at Awanas. The next night I was able to go to our home. I'm sure he'd love to have a few more people come over to our home and minister to those young people over there. You know, there's all those kind of opportunities. This summer, I'm sure you're going to have Bible school and other things. You know what? Let's fill the church with volunteers, you know, so that there's more volunteers than kids. That's not a bad problem to have. You know, there's all kinds of things in just the local church that we can do to make a difference. You know, but maybe it's not about serving just in your town that you're feeling led. Maybe you feel like God's calling you to do something bigger. Maybe you're feeling like a global kind of thing, and maybe you feel like you need to go on a mission trip overseas. You know, that's awesome. Go for that. Maybe you want to do something like our family. Our family, about a year and a half ago, started sponsoring a little girl named Marinella through Compassion International. And $35 a month, you get to save a kid's life and really make a difference in their life. You know, then just a couple weeks ago, we had the opportunity to go to a Compassion Experience. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that. But basically, they came to a church and they brought in this semi-truck, and it was two kids' life stories, real stories, and you were able to walk through these kids' lives and see what difference somebody made just because they sponsored them. You know, the one young man, he said, you know, I had nothing. You know, I would steal just to try to make ends meet for my family, and I got arrested at the age of 12, and I got thrown in jail, and I figured I was just going to die there. I mean, what 12-year-old wants to feel like I'm going to die in jail? And he said, you know, my parents didn't have the money to bribe somebody to get me out. And so I just figured this was my life. I was going to die in jail. And he said, luckily he got out. And then he found a school. You know, he was able to go to the Compassion School. And then he got sponsored. And then, I mean, his life just changed dramatically. And it went from, I have no purpose. I have nothing that I can do. I can't accomplish anything because this is just what my life is, to he became a DJ, and he's working in the community, and he's making a difference, you know. And so, you know, you don't think that just a few dollars a month makes a big deal, but it makes a huge difference to those kids that are receiving that, you know. So maybe that's something you want to do, and there's all kinds of stuff online about that, and that's awesome stuff too. Please don't feel like you can't make a difference because you don't have the means necessary. Please don't feel you can't make a difference because you're not smart enough or skilled enough, or you can't do something big. You know, one of the big problems, I think, in our world is that we buy into the lie that if it's not big, it doesn't make a difference. You know, the world tells us that, you know, if we're going to do something for somebody, if it's going to be something that's really going to make a difference, it's got to be huge. It's got to be massive. It's got to be large. But you look at that parable of the sheep and the goats, and what do you notice? Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Give water to the thirsty. Visit the sick. Those things aren't going to make headlines. Those things aren't going to make the news. But for the person that you're helping, it's going to mean the world. It's going to mean the world to that person. Case in point, Aaron. So I started telling you about him earlier. He came to our house with severe anger issues. He didn't want to come. But his mom knew it's what was best for him. And so he said, okay, I'll be here for a year. Because his mom said, you know, go there for a year and we'll kind of see what's going on. So he came for a year. And he thought, okay, I'll spend my year and I'll go home. And then I can have everything back that I wanted. His year came and mom just had lost her job. So obviously, it wasn't the right time for them to come home. So he's like, okay, a few more months, we'll see what happens. So for the first year and a half, he was just, I'm just going to buy my time. I'm just going to pretend to do well. I'm just going to do whatever I have to do to work the program and get myself out. But a year and a half in, he realized, you know what? It's going to be a while before I go home. Maybe I should actually give this thing a try. Maybe I should see what's going to happen. And so Aaron gave it a try, and for like 6 months, you know, he really tried. He really tried to see how Shomi could change his life and what it would do for him. He left our home as a senior in high school at middle semester, Christmas time, and went home to graduate. And when he did that, after he'd left, he decided that God was calling him into youth ministry. Before, when he came, he had two jobs on his mind. He was either going to be a lawyer or a meteorologist. Those were his two job choices, and it was all about money. Money, I want to be provided for. But God got a hold of his heart. And he went and graduated from Ozark Christian College with an associate's degree in 2 years. He went and worked at a church for about a year and a half to 2 years. And then he felt called to move on. And so he moved back to Arkansas, where he's from. And he's working at a boys' home there for troubled youth. And not only is he able to work with those troubled youth that had so many of the same struggles and problems that he had, he's worked it out that he gets to take them to church on Sunday mornings. So now he's not only making an impact on these kids' lives, but he gets paid to take kids to church. And right now, he's working on raising funds for what's called the World Race. I don't know if you've heard about it, but he's getting ready to go on a year-long mission trip where he's going to visit 12 different countries in 12 different months, because now God's calling him for missions. He just feels a passion to go to the people of Asia and tell them about God. You know, when he was a freshman in high school, if you said, you're going to be a missionary, he'd laugh in your face. He'd say, there's no way that's going to happen. That's not what I want. But because Aaron was given a second chance, because Aaron had somebody there for him, it made all the difference in his life. You know, now whenever he has a problem, he calls us. He's like, Mom, Dad, what do I do about this? You know, I remember when he was in youth ministry, just having some struggles with some of the kids. What do I do about that? How can I help? You know, we're a resource that he never would have had. And if you ask Sarah and I, we're going to say we didn't do anything big. You know, all we did was take care of his needs. But I remember one time he said, I tried to get kicked out of your house. I did everything I could to make you guys push me away, but you wouldn't give up on me. And when I heard that, I mean, that just floored me, because Sarah and I, we both laugh about it, because we didn't realize that's what he was doing. We didn't even notice that he was trying to get kicked out of our house. You know, but the fact that we didn't give up on him, the fact that we were willing to invest our time in him, made all the difference in his life. And who knows how many lives are going to be affected by him, because we were able to make a difference in his life. And that's not about me, and that's not about Sarah, but it's just the power of God working through somebody to make a difference in somebody's life. All around us, guys, there are opportunities to make a difference. All around us, there are so many opportunities to reach into somebody's life and make a change. Don't be blind to those opportunities. And when those opportunities come, don't say, somebody else can do it. Somebody else is going to handle it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. You know what? If you go with a heart ready to go, God will take that. God will take that heart, and he'll multiply it, and make it work. He'll make everything work out for you. You know, I think about the widow's offering in the book of Matthew. And you have these rich people coming up, dropping bags of money in the offering plate. And then you have a poor widow throwing in 2 coins. And Jesus says, that poor widow gave more than all those other people combined. And it's not because of the amount, but it's the attitude behind it. It's the attitude behind it. When it comes to making a difference in somebody's life, that's what it's about. It's about your attitude behind it, and just wanting to reach out and make a difference. Will you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you just be with us, Lord, as we just go throughout our lives, Lord. When there's opportunities to make a difference, may we reach out and touch those lives. When there's opportunities for us to invest in someone's life, help us, Lord, not to be too busy. Help us not to be too blind. Help us to reach out and make a difference, Lord, just like you would. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you use us. And I thank you that you made a difference in our lives. May we go and do that to others. It's in your name. Amen.